Alrighty, well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. We were there last week also. Today's October the 30th, 2022. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You may remember this from last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Renewed day by day. I also last week read Reverend Cummins from the Working Translation, "Wherefore we are not discouraged. Although our outer person is decaying," we're getting older, "yet our inner person is renewed day by day." And if you were here last week, we were talking about how important renewing our minds is. And if you missed that teaching, it's on the website there. The tab is Recent Teachings. You can find them there. But renewing our minds, putting on the new man, the new you, who we are, what we have as born-again believers. That's the renewed mind. Day by day, reinforcing in our minds our rights, our privileges, and our abilities that God has given us as born-again ones, so that we can be more than conquerors, so that we can be victorious in this life that we're living. Look at 1 John chapter 4, if you would. This morning, kind of a follow-up to last week, and I guess if I titled it, I'd title it, "Don't Be Discouraged." And there are lots of things in life that can cause us to faint, cause us to be discouraged. Sometimes it's things going on in the world, in our country. Other times it's personal matters. Could be health, could be other personal issues. But point is this morning, regardless of where the pressure is coming from, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in you, and we know what is in us. The Spirit of God is in us, right? And, you know, last week we were looking at some of the rights, privileges, and abilities that are part of that great Spirit of God that we have in us. It's the Spirit of God that is in us that will enable us to be victorious, to be more than conquerors. And that's why it's so advantageous for us to renew our minds, reinforcing our rights, privileges, and abilities that we have, that we know from God's Word, especially the church epistles, to continue to day by day, putting those into our minds. If we don't, we will get discouraged. We will faint. And being discouraged and fainting is not the will of God for his children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And if you would go to 2 Peter chapter 2, I think I briefly mentioned this last week. It was either in the teaching or afterwards, but about Lot back in Genesis. Remember, Lot decided to move to Sodom, and that was not a very good place to live. And so you know the background of all of that. But let's take note of verse 7 in 2 Peter chapter 2. God did deliver him, and verse 7, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." The word "vexed" there in that verse means to be afflicted or oppressed with evils. And it exhausted him. And the next verse says, "For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." That's a different word for vex there. That word vex means to be distressed with grievous pains of body or mind, tormented. And you see it was day to day in the things that he saw and heard day after day after day, living in that ungodly city that he was in. He was worn out. He was tormented. He was exhausted. And he had no television. Couldn't turn on the nightly news and go, oh, jeez, look what they're doing now. There was no newspaper delivered to him every day going, oh, I can't believe what's happening. There was no social media where he could read, oh, I can't believe they said that. All this stuff. With none of that, in seeing and hearing, he was worn down, tormented, vexed. And that's certainly not God's will for us. Now, you know, concerning things that are going on in the world and especially in our country, we can limit how much we see and hear. We can. And, you know, easy to say, hey, but I need to know what's going on. I don't want to be stupid. Okay, I need to know what's going on. The question then would be, how much do you need or want to know is going on? How much? And I personally think that if we knew every single thing the adversary was doing just in our country, our brains would explode. I don't think I'd want to know every single thing that's going on, right? But we can limit how much and then pray more. Regardless of where the pressure comes from, two things that would greatly help us in not being discouraged would be, number one, renew our minds to who we are. Continue to remind ourselves day by day of who we are, what we have, our great rights, privileges, and abilities. And then secondly, pray. Pray, 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 pray more. Look at Luke 18. These two things are just so beneficial for us. You know, and last week I gave an example of something, you know, you could do. I think if you've been around here long enough, you know I'm not really into teaching methods or things like that. Here's a perfect plan for everyone. You got to figure it out for yourself, what works for you. But the point is to be putting God's word into our minds of who we really are, our rights, our privileges, and our abilities that are just all spelled out in the church epistles. And along with that, prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Luke 18, 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, and here's the parable, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. You know, do what is right for me. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Sort of like 30 text messages a day. Widow woman, avenge me, avenge me. Stop it. Phone calls, letters. Verse 6, the Lord said, did you hear what the unjust judge said? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear, bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Parables generally have one main point. And what's really wonderful about this record is that God's word tells us the point of the parable before it's even spoken. Verse 1 says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Pray and not to faint. That word faint means to be wearied or be exhausted. And prayer is so very helpful in times of stress. So here, Jesus showed us how to pray so we won't faint, so we won't be wearied out or exhausted, so that we don't get discouraged. God doesn't want us going around discouraged, fainting, giving up, quitting. And we see this, look at Galatians chapter 6. You know, sometimes people can get to the point of going, well, what's the use? I mean, why should I even do anything? In Galatians 6, verse 9 says, let us not be weary. That's that same word as faint. Let us not be weary, exhausted in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Darby translates this, but let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, if we do not faint, we shall reap. The NIV has it, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. King James again, let us not be weary. That's that same word as faint. In well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Twice in that verse, to be wearied, exhausted, discouraged. God does not want us to get to that point. And same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep doing what you know is right. Don't lose heart. Well, how do you do that then? Pray much, and we renew our minds day by day by day, reminding ourselves of who we are as we're sons of God. God said that we could be more than conquerors in any situation. God made us right. I'm a righteous person before God Almighty. There is no more condemnation against me. I've passed from death unto life. God has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son, to continue to remind ourselves of who we are and pray much. That's how we'll avoid being discouraged. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, all that great, wonderful word of God about the hope, about being gathered together. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then God tells us what's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And at the last, you know, hey, we're going to get gathered together. And so that is certainly a great privilege that God has given to those who are born again. That's part of our rights, privileges, and abilities. And so after all of that, the last verse in chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Just keep moving forward. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse, and you know this epistle was written by Paul from prison. And he says in verse 13, 3:13 of Ephesians, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Sometimes people we love go through difficult times, and we can't let that discourage us. Day by day, we put on our rights, privileges, and abilities into our mind, and then we pray more. And not allow it to just totally get us to quit, to give up, to faint, to be wearied, and get all discouraged. Paul said, don't faint at my tribulations. Don't worry about it. So we just keep doing what we know we should do. I saw this verse this morning when I was reviewing and teaching, so I'm just going to pop it in there. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith, and that has the definite article, the prayer of the right way of believing shall save or deliver the sick. And this word is translated sick, but it's also translated afflicted. Could be with, doesn't necessarily mean sickness, but it's just afflicted. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So again, prayer. Praying. Hebrews, back up a little bit to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 follows all the great believers listed in Hebrews 11. This whole list of great believers. And then it says in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we've got all those people that we can look at and see how they stood for God, believed God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. Well, let's consider him for a minute. Jesus Christ knew who he was, right? He didn't go around, I wonder if I really am the Messiah. He was convinced of who he was and what God had given him and what he was to do. He refused to get discouraged and faint. And could he have been? Imagine being the Messiah and being rejected. You know, the long-awaited Messiah for centuries. They're waiting for the Christ to come. And the top leadership, the scribes, the Pharisees, absolutely did not believe him. And eventually engineered him being killed. He could have gotten discouraged. And talk about praying and not fainting. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested, was he praying? Yep, it says he was praying rather intently, right? He was praying. You can read in Mark where it says, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and prayed. Got up before everybody else went and got quiet so he could pray. There's another record where Jesus Christ spent all night in prayer. All night. That takes some commitment to prayer, doesn't it? After the loaves and fishes, one of the incidents of the loaves and fishes, he sent the disciples across the lake. He said goodbye to everybody and they went into the mountain apart to pray, to spend time praying. There's a record in John chapter 12 where Jesus Christ said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father. And then he prayed. So when my soul is troubled, I could follow the example of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go, Father, pray. Men ought to always pray, women too. We ought to always pray and not faint. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm a woman, I don't need to pray. That was for men. Pray. Jesus Christ taught us that we ought to always pray and not faint, and that's what he did. Isn't that wonderful? So look at 1 Peter now, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5. Another familiar section. And again, we're talking about how to not get discouraged, how to not faint, how to not give up, how to not quit. We renew our minds. We continue to day by day put into our minds who we are, because the world will never help you with that. On the contrary, the world will help to talk you out of it. So we do that and we pray. Verse 6 of 2 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. we pray. And then if we need to, we pray more. And sometimes things come up in life where we need to pray more. Then it says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Oh, now it's getting personal. Your adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The MO of our adversary hasn't changed. The thief still comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That hasn't changed. Ephesians tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, spiritual darkness. The works or the evil of our adversary will always discourage you, but God and his word will always encourage you. And God says, put on the new man. Put on, you know, that section in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you know. And then he lists a number of things there in Ephesians 6. And the last thing that's mentioned in that putting on the whole armor is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We put on and we pray. We put on and we pray. Day by day, renewing our minds to who we are and what we have, and then be persistent and consistent in prayer. And in doing that, we won't get discouraged. Verse 8 again, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing. Well, the right way of believing would include me putting my rights, privileges, and abilities into my head, right? Sure, that's part of it. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one ever going through this. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, God will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Hallelujah. Well, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The works, the evil of the adversary will always discourage you. Whether it's something you're dealing with, something other people are dealing with, it will discourage you. But God and his word will always encourage you and lift you up. And that's God's will for us. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. There's a verse here in Isaiah chapter 40 that you're probably familiar with, but let's look a little bit at the context here. Verse 18, Isaiah 40, 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Can you draw a picture of God? What would it look like? So God says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Is that who you're going to liken God to? Sticks and stones? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth forth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. God referred to idols as stocks and stones. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Who am I equal to? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And look what our good God does. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How encouraging is that? That's our God. God doesn't want us to faint. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to be worn out and tormented. There's a verse in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking to show his grace, his mercy, his power, his deliverance. That's our God. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. So day by day, we renew our minds to who we really are and we pray, knowing that he will help us. He will strengthen us. He'll comfort us. He'll encourage us. He will heal us. He is our God. And if you want to flip a page, go to chapter 41, two of my favorite verses. 41:10 says, "Fear thou not." See, God doesn't want us to faint, and God certainly doesn't want us to have fear. "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, Fear not, I will help you." This is so beautiful because God says, "I will hold your right hand." So if I, figuratively of course, but if I go to hold God's hand, I could let go. But if God's going to hold my right hand, he's not going to let go. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, Fear not, I will help you." So let's close where we started in 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Throughout the day, day by day. So let's keep reminding ourselves of who we are and what we've been given. Who are we really? In the midst of all that's going on, it could be going on personally, going on in the world, it's fine. We are just visiting here. This is temporary for us. And remind ourselves of who we are and what we have as born again ones, and then stay persistent and consistent in prayer. Prayer. Jesus Christ said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father." We go to our Father. And these two things will really help us to not be discouraged. So before I pray, we're going to play a song here. Thought this song might bless you this morning.
There are times when I am troubled by the trials of this world. Sometimes they set my flesh a tremble, it seems they shall prevail. Although that here is prayer, unto thee I will come, and I will see your promise done in the shadow.
Gracious, wonderful Father, we praise you for your grace, for your mercy, for your power, for your wisdom. Father, thank you for your great plan of salvation and redemption and for all that Jesus Christ has fully completed for each and every one of us, that we could be born again, that we could have all those rights, privileges, and abilities that are just freely given to us. How blessed we are. Thank you for being a God of answered prayer. Thank you for having your ears open unto our prayers and inviting us to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, I pray for every person here in the room and those on the hookup. And Father, just pray that this coming week we can just walk and talk with you and remind ourselves of who we are, what we have, and that we can be persistent in our prayers to you. And that, Father, we can have the opportunity to share some of this with others who might be discouraged and fainting, that we could help them and encourage them, that you are a God of answered prayer and that you have done so much for us. Father, thank you for the continued outreach of your word for hungry hearts to turn to you, and may they be filled. Thank you for the great privilege of sharing your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.